This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human animal connection.
Hi, everyone. So glad you're out there. It's Jeannie Joseph from the Human Animal Connection, and I have a really delightful guest. I'm so glad to have Jody L. Teich, and she is a pet health expert and energy medicine practitioner. She guides her clients to become their pet's healer, learning effective, natural ways to set their dogs and cats up for success. Jody is a certified pet homeopathic educator, also using in her practice nutrition education and cutting-edge energy healing modalities, which have been very effective in creating healthier, more vibrant animals and their humans. Her podcast, The Pet Health Coach, is available on Pet Life Radio and on all major platforms, and you can book a consult with Jody. Well, let's get started, Jody. Thank you for being here. Tell us what you mean by energy medicine for our pets, for people who don't know about it.
Sure. Thank you so much, Jeannie. I'm thrilled to be here with you.
Yeah.
We become friends too, so this is also extra special. So thanks.
Yeah.
I am, in addition to being a pet health expert and an energy medicine practitioner, I am a pet health and a human health coach. And so I will kind of weave the two of them into what that means.
Well, let's start with a basic, in case people don't know what homeopathy is all about. I'm sure they know it's a healing method, but can you just give a summary of what is homeopathy and how is it different from?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Homeopathy is an energy medicine. And what that means is the plants, the minerals, the animals that homeopathic remedies are made from, the actual original substance to make it homeopathic is diluted and what we call succussed, which is rapidly, hardly shaken over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The dilution process gets the what could cause unwanted reactions in the person or animal from the original substance, i.e. arsenicum, arsenic, belladonna, nightshade, deadly nightshade. It dilutes it to the point where it no longer is toxic.
Okay.
And the succussion releases the energy of that substance into a healing form in that liquid so that at the end of however many times you've done this, which determines the potency, you have a healing medicine.
Wow. Okay. And I think there's a little trick to it. Like 6X is more powerful or less powerful than 3X? Which way does it go? I always forget.
So the more times it's counterintuitive, but the more times it is diluted and succussed, the more powerful it is. So the X decimal, potency is less powerful than the C centesimal potency.
Okay.
Which is 99 to 1, but we won't get into that. That's too deep.
Okay.
And then you have even more, like LM, you have even more potent methods of creating the remedy.
Okay.
But for example, the C potencies are generally what people buy in the store.
Okay.
X's and C's, but mostly C's. So a 30C, a 12C is less potent than a 30C is less potent than a 200C is less potent than a 1M, et cetera.
Yeah. Wow.
So the more dilutions and succussions, the more potent.
Yeah. So interesting. So now with homeopathy, it's very unique, right? An individual, let's say a dog, for example, one dog might want one remedy for a certain thing and another dog with the same condition might want a different remedy. Is that correct?
That is correct, because it's not about the condition in homeopathy. It's about how that individual animal is expressing their symptoms of that condition.
Okay.
So for example, two dogs. Vomiting and diarrhea. One dog vomits immediately after eating, is very thirsty, wants to be near mommy, and likes to be under the covers, warm, toasty.
Yeah.
The other dog vomits 2 or 3 hours after eating, wants to be out in the open air, doesn't want to be touched, and is thirstless, is not really that thirsty. Two dogs have vomiting and diarrhea. They're each expressing it in different ways unique to them.
Okay.
And it is those unique expression of symptoms, which is a total symptom picture, that we recommend the homeopathic remedy from. And so that's why two dogs with vomiting and diarrhea expressing it differently can have two different remedies.
Yeah, interesting. So people really need to work with someone who understands how to get the whole picture and even what to ask. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, because I think, you know, usually we go to the vet and they'll ask a few questions, but it's just a few questions. And give me an example. Like I'll say, well, we were fostering a dog that had, I think we would call separation anxiety. It's a really difficult time when I left. And so how would you ask me questions? Start me off. How would you begin asking me questions about her?
Sure. So some of the questions, because the sessions are generally an hour, hour and a half, and sometimes longer. So I'll just give you a sampling. So some of the questions might be, have you noticed that when your dog is expressing their separation anxiety, are they cowering in a corner? Like, how are they expressing it? Are they cowering in a corner? Are they being destructive in the house? Are they? Okay. So how they're expressing it would be one thing.
Okay.
Do they have an appetite when they are, you know, feeling this? Do they drink more? Do their eating habits change when they're feeling this? What do you notice about other sort of deeper emotional things that they may do? Maybe they go to a certain place, or maybe they need to be like in a certain room, or, you know, when this is coming on. Is there something that happens that triggers this before you're actually leaving the house?
Right.
But something that happens that triggers this that you might notice that gives us some insight into how they're thinking.
Okay.
With pets, it's harder. Separation anxiety is a host of other things. Are there other symptoms that go along with this? They throw up. If they're throwing up, what color is it? Or how does it smell? You know, is it food? Or undigested food? Is it bile? Are there other things going on simultaneously?
Right.
So it's body, mind, and spirit. And it's, again, what that particular animal is doing to express that separation anxiety.
Right. So I think people are getting the idea that homeopathics is not just, well, what do I do for this? Or, you know, like, you know, just tell me what remedy I do for this problem, which is kind of the Western model, is we're used to saying, okay, here's my symptom, give me the cure. You know, we've all been raised on that. And what you're talking about is really a very in-depth, holistic approach, meaning you're looking at what's the animal doing physically, what's the animal doing emotionally, what's the animal doing mentally, what's the animal doing in terms of eating or drinking or eliminating. And, you know, this is a very different way of looking at what's going on with the being. And one being may express one way, this certain problem, and the other animal is going to express a completely different way. So this is really great. So when you get people on these homeopathic remedies, do you have like a story you could tell us about, an example of somebody who came to you, they didn't know what was going on, and they said, here's this mess of symptoms, and tell us how you proceeded, how you did a little detective work and solved it?
I could give you a couple of examples. I could start with my Sophie, because during her 6-month bout of congestive heart failure, we had a couple of things come into the picture that were in tandem with, but we didn't really know why. One we did, the other we didn't. And when I say we, it's me and the vet team that I had around us. So one was incontinence. She all of a sudden became incontinent. And it wasn't going to be the medication that might have been it, because she had already been on that medication at least 2 months. And there was a remedy that I had looked into, which was a very, very little known remedy that I really liked for her heart symptoms, not mm-hmm. her mind symptoms at all, but her mm-hmm. heart symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so I treated her with this remedy for her heart symptoms. And because it's so internal, it's very hard to know unless you follow over time with echocardiograms, et cetera. But I did, and I noticed she perked up a little bit after the first treatment with it. Mm-hmm. So that was a good sign.
Yeah.
And then when the incontinence came into the picture, I had intuition that this same remedy would be something to look into. So I went back into my homeopathic program and I looked into this remedy again. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, incontinence was there.
Wow. Yeah.
So I decided to try it and it literally stopped the incontinence overnight.
Wow. Wow.
And when it came back about 2 weeks later, I gave her one more dose,
mm-hmm.
gone for the rest wow. of the time that she was with me. And that was a good couple of months.
Yes.
And then wow. she, during the bout, she was having accidents 4 or 5 times a day.
Wow.
So that's yeah. one story. Another mm-hmm. story is with a client. The dog's name is Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
The first time homeopathy worked great for Charlie was for itching.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have fleas.
Mm-hmm.
We made sure of that. It didn't seem to be dietary. And I took Charlie's case, and taking the case is very important. That's some of the things you mentioned. It's having a long meeting with the pet parent and asking a lot of high mileage questions, good mm-hmm. questions to get to the bottom of how Charlie was expressing this.
Yes.
Now, it had become a chronic issue. So after doing this, and getting information about his vaccination history,
mm-hmm.
I felt that that was the link.
Ah.
And so I prescribed a homeopathic remedy that matched up well and also had a real synergy with fallout from vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked for Charlie very That's quickly. Wonderful. And the itching was gone. And I got a text from my client saying, "You're a genius." And of course, we love that because we feel so happy that the dog is not suffering
yeah.
and that the pet parent's happy. We've also had another issue with Charlie more recently with his spine
mm-hmm.
and some, you know, out of alignment, pinched nerve. And while he's had acupuncture, and chiropractic adjustments, which have helped, nothing has stuck. Mm-hmm. And we are now using a remedy that we've tried from one potency. We got all the love we could get out of that potency, which was working very nicely and then stopped working. And then we tried a higher potency. Sometimes when people are new to homeopathy, they abandon a remedy too quickly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to experiment with potency and dosing.
Mm.
So we did that, and it's now seems to be really helping again.
Wonderful.
So we're in it still, but those are some examples.
Well, that's great. We're going to take a short little break. I'm speaking with Jody Teich, and she is a pet health expert. We'll be right back.
Hey, friends. If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection podcast. I'm speaking with the very wonderful Jody Teich. She is a pet health expert. And Jody, I want people to understand, because they probably have never been to a pet health expert. Tell us a little bit about what we need to know about how you work that's different from, say, how a vet would work.
Thank you so much, Jeannie. A pet health coach, which is really what I am, is sort of a bridge between the pet parent and the vet.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is we are knowledge transfer because we know more than the average pet parent
mm-hmm.
through our studies. I'm certified in nutrition. I'm a certified coach. I am a certified pet homeopathic educator. And I've learned a lot over the years. I learned a heck of a lot about congestive heart failure because of Sophie, which I shared with pet parents. So we are knowledge transfer. We are resource person. Mm-hmm. So there are wonderful tools, products that I've learned about, used, and had success with over the years that in the right circumstances, I would suggest to pet parents, whether it's nutrition. Nutrition is the foundation of the house.
Yes.
So it would be helping to create a nutrition plan with the pet parent that is bio-individual because not the same thing doesn't necessarily work for every single animal.
Right.
And it would be communicating with and supporting the vet when they are open to doing that with a holistic, natural healing pet health coach. Some vets are, some vets aren't. Right. We're also accountability partners, champions, and because I'm also an energy medicine practitioner, I can bring things like homeopathy into the mix when I think it would be helpful. Mm-hmm. I can bring frequency scanning into the mix when I think it would be helpful.
Well, I definitely want to talk about energy medicine, but before we get to that, I just want to pick up on one thing you just said about the nutritional element. Are you someone who cooks for your dogs, or tell us a little bit about your routine with that?
Sure. I feed my dogs raw and I do a combination of things.
Okay.
There are times when I'll order from farms or buy from farms that use no antibiotics or hormones or pesticides or herbicides, and the animals are pasture raised and finished and humanely killed. So the reason why I look for this, and I pay a little more for that, is because I don't want the antibiotics and hormones and pesticides and herbicides, all of which reside in the muscle meat of the animal, passed on to my animal.
Right.
Eating that animal. And it does. And then humanely killed, the factory farming system.
Yeah.
These animals live such horrible lives, as you well know, Jeannie. Yeah, yeah. And the cortisol levels in their bodies for their lives, and then the way that they are slaughtered goes right into your animal's body through the meat.
Yes.
So that is also why, and also because I'm an animal lover and I want to make sure that, you know, to the best of my ability, that what I feed my guys is coming from an animal that had a good life, as good a life as possible.
Yeah.
So that's what I do, but I don't only choose muscle meat. And when I am choosing muscle meats, as much of a variety as possible.
Yeah, that's important.
And I'll tell you why in a moment. But I also choose as much of a variety of organ meats as possible, because organ meats are the most vitamin and mineral rich meats that we have. And they do wonders for our animals. And the third component to what I do is raw meaty bones. Raw meaty bones have their own vitamins and minerals, because you're talking marrow, you're talking about bone material. And with my guys, the kinds of raw meaty bones that I love, they vary. They can be chicken necks, turkey necks, chicken backs, duck frames. Those are the things that they can eat the whole thing because they're raw, the bones are softer, and their stomach acids are 100 times more potent than ours. They're meant to eat the whole of an animal.
Right.
They're meant to be able to digest bone and gristle. We're not. Also, their transit times, much shorter than ours. So the likelihood between the high, high levels of acid and the shorter transit time of them getting sick from bacteria, parasites, you know, whatever in meat, unless the pet parent is very careless, it's very it's very unlikely. So that's not something that I worry about. So, and the reason why I do a lots of variety of meats is because every meat, every animal has its own amino acid profile.
Mm-hmm.
So the amino acid profile of beef is going to be a little different than chicken. It's going to be a little different than venison. It's going to be a little different than lamb, et cetera, mm-hmm. and so forth. So while there might be some overlap, there are going to be some amino acids that they won't get if they only eat one or two types of meats ongoing.
Yes.
And it's been shown that feeding an animal one or two types of meats only
mm-hmm.
long term can mm-hmm. actually develop allergies to those very meats.
Right, right. Yeah, and I know that there are some people who think that their dog is allergic to chicken because they've been on commercial pet food with chicken, and then they go and give them either, you know, boiled chicken or some raw chicken. Well, do you give raw chicken? Do you do raw chicken?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then they find out, well, it isn't that they were allergic to that particular animal. It's that they were allergic to all the additives in the food, the commercial food.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big, big, important point, Jeannie.
Yeah.
There is so much in commercial pet food that is unregulated mm-hmm. and very unhealthy for
right.
our animals.
Yes.
And with kibble, dry food, mm-hmm. it keeps your pet in a constant state of dehydration.
Yes.
There is just not enough moisture in that food. And with cats,
yeah.
increased levels of UTIs,
mm-hmm.
crystal formation.
Yes.
So that is the bottom of my food vitality pyramid is dry
mm-hmm.
food,
mm-hmm.
with wet food being one rung above.
Right.
Now, home cooking is fine, mm-hmm. but there are two things you have to be aware of. One is if you're going to cook meat, heat kills.
Mm-hmm.
Heat kills. So mm-hmm. anytime you add heat to an equation, the vitamins and minerals are going to die. And the reason that raw food is so wonderful, in addition to it retaining those vitamins and minerals, is the live enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
The live enzymes in that meat, raw meat,
mm-hmm.
allows the transition from the small intestine, which is where all of the vitamins and minerals go into the bloodstream to nourish your cells and all mm-hmm. your organ systems, out of the small intestine. It allows that transition out of the small intestine to happen much more efficiently and effectively.
Mm.
So when you're going to home cook, it's my suggestion and recommendation that with your vegetables, if you can puree raw vegetables,
mm-hmm.
do that.
Okay.
Puree raw vegetables and sear the meat lightly.
Sear the meat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lightly.
Mm-hmm.
If your pet does better on something that's cooked,
mm-hmm.
do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't super, super, super lightly cook vegetables because you need to have either enough heat or the pureeing to break down the cellulose
right.
on the walls of those vegetables, which are really hard for your animal to digest.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to cook them, not kill them
right.
with cooking,
right.
but cook them enough to break down those cellulose walls. But if you puree and your animal is up for that,
mm-hmm.
that's much, much better. And then
great.
Searing.
Yeah, really interesting. So are you 100% raw or do you mix raw with cooked?
I'm 100% raw. That's mm-hmm. not to say when I make a burger for myself
mm-hmm.
from these
mm-hmm.
farms,
mm-hmm.
I don't give, now Annie is my one doggie, I don't okay. give her some tastes. She
yes.
loves it.
Of course.
Or when I get a rotisserie chicken, mm-hmm. I don't give her some tastes. Or Sophie used to love rotisserie chicken.
Yes.
So I use it as a topper to entice, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So yeah, you know, I'm not rigid.
Right.
But the base uh-huh. meals for them are raw and organs, lots of organs,
okay.
all different types.
Yeah. So what are your, let's take us through the organ meats. What are the organ meats that you use?
Everything from all different animals too.
Mm-hmm.
Liver, kidney, spleen, lung,
mm-hmm.
Brain,
mm-hmm.
suet.
What is suet?
I think it's intestines.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's a good starting list. So
lots.
Yeah,
lots.
So
the only thing I haven't tackled because it's a little bit too much for me is eyeballs.
Yeah. Okay.
There are people who do that too.
Right. Right. I know. Well, in the wild, that's what the animals would do is eat
the entire thing.
The feathers, the skin, the
hooves. That's right. And the feathers or the fur and the skin
yeah.
are really, really healthy. And actually, one of the things that I do get from the farms are chicken feet.
feet.
And they love them. I mean, they're the weirdest things to look at because you see like, nails and every. It's like
It's hard. It's hard.
But Annabelle goes through that. My little Chihuahua, she goes through that like you know a pit bull.
Wow. Yeah. And so for your clients that aren't ready to take the complete raw journey or whatever, what do you recommend? Like, do you have some products that you like to, well, let me ask you, how do you feel about the freeze dried, the whole freeze dried movement? What are your thoughts on freeze dried?
Freeze dried is right under home cooking. So what I like about freeze dried much better than dehydrated is more of the moisture is out, but more of the nutrients are retained.
Okay. And so is that the difference between freeze-dried and air-dried? Is that what you're talking about there?
Or
is
No. Freeze-dried is literally the raw food is frozen, like frozen vegetables.
Okay.
This is why frozen vegetables are the next best thing to fresh vegetables.
Right.
Because all the nutrients are frozen in.
So for those clients who aren't ready to get the chicken feet and the turkey necks and so on, the freeze-dried fruit is the next best. Or no, the home-cooked and then freeze-dried or which?
Yeah, whatever. But freeze-dried is easy. You know, you don't have to put it in the refrigerator or freezer. You can put it on the shelf. And there are some wonderful brands that I love that, you know, I give my dog too sometimes. You know, I mix it up sometimes. But generally, it's raw.
Great.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Freeze-dried is okay.
Yeah. Good.
And you know, you have to meet people where they are.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not a food Nazi.
Yeah, right. You know, that's no fun.
Some people are not ready, as you said. Some people have financial restrictions where they can't do freeze-dried yet.
Right.
So maybe they can do less dry food and add some raw to that.
Right.
That's
excellent.
Better than not, right?
Definitely. Any so change is a good change.
It's a journey.
It's a journey, right? And every little step makes a difference.
That's right.
Well, Jody, this has been absolutely delightful. How can people find you if they want to do a consultation and do one of these in-depth sessions with you to consult with their animals?
Wonderful. Thank you, Jeannie. You can go on my site, Jody, J-O-D-Y, L for Lynn, Teiche, T-E-I-C-H-E. com, and you can book a session with me there.
Great.
You can email me at jody@jodyltaish.com.
That's excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much. I know there's so much more we didn't have a chance to get to. We'll have to have you on again.
I'd love it. Thank you so much, Jeannie.
Yeah. And thank you all for being a part of the Human Animal Connection podcast. We'll see you again real soon. Aloha for now.
Thank you for tuning into the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services. You can reach Michael Overly, author of Let Your Dog Lead, Musings on How to Create an Exceptional Life, on his website at dogsandmen.com or email michael@dogsandmen.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.